He's the patron saint of Russia and of Scotland, and as one of Christ's apostles, became like his brother, a fisher of men. He is Saint Andrew, and his feast day is celebrated by the Latin and the Orthodox churches each year on November 30th. I asked Scottish historian and author of the book Saint Andrew, Scotland's Myth and Identity, Michael Turnbull, who was Saint Andrew?
Well, Saint Andrew, first of all, was a fisherman and the brother of Saint Peter, so he is a very important person in the development of the early church. His name is Greek, and it means manly or strong. After Jesus called him, he went and became an apostle and took part in the life of Jesus in the last days of Jesus. He was the first person to bring non-Jews to Jesus, and therefore he's a sort of symbol of communication and getting on with other people, international relations, if you like. He was also the person who found the little boy with the loaves and fishes, at the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. And then I think we see him lastly in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Jesus died. And after that, what we know about Andrew is based on a book called The Acts of Andrew, which is a sort of apocryphal piece of writing, which extols the virtues of St. Andrew as a missionary and as a miracle worker with some extraordinary stories. He's a kind of a Superman, a comic book hero, if you like. But the main point of these stories is that he travels away from where he was born and goes to places like Greece and to the Black Sea, along the coast of the Black Sea, up to Kiev. And that's really where the link with Scotland comes, because people believe, the early Scottish historians wrote, there was a connection between the Scots and people who lived on the shores of the Black Sea. They were, in fact, related. They were the same people. And this was used throughout history by the Scots in order to persuade various popes that Scotland needed their help.
As you were mentioning, there are various accounts of where St. Andrew went after he left the Holy Land. We know he is particularly revered by Catholics, but also by the Orthodox Church in Eastern Europe. Can you explain that?
What happened in history, as far as we know, is that the body of St. Andrew lay in Patras, where he was executed on the shore, and where there's a very large and handsome Greek Orthodox cathedral to this day called St. Andrew's. And the body was then taken by somebody called Thomas Palaeologus, the tyrant of Morea, and stolen away from that part of the world and brought to Italy, to Rome, in the 1400s. And it was there presented eventually to Pope Pius II, who, as a young cleric, had actually visited Scotland, had been shipwrecked on the coast of Scotland, and had traveled there, having been sent as an emissary to try and persuade the Scottish king to attack the English, who were at that time giving a lot of grief to the French, so that the French were trying to get the Scots to attack the English, to take them off their backs, basically. And we can see this political, really, the head of St. Andrew, if you like, if I can be a bit indiscreet, was a political football for many years. And Pope Pius II in Rome attempted to bring the heads of St. Paul and St. Peter from the Lateran to meet the head of their brother, St. Andrew, but it proved to be an impossibility, as the two reliquaries were too heavy. They were laden with gold and silver. But at the time, Pius II was trying to use the head of St. Andrew to try and whip up enthusiasm for a crusade to rescue the holy places.
You mentioned that his relics arrived in Scotland, but why does he mean so much to Scots today?
Well, indeed, it means everything, and there's been an increasing popular consensus that St. Andrew's Day should be really a popular holiday, which it is, a national holiday, although not all the businesses close. And the reason really is because people like Pope St. Gregory, who had been a papal legate in Constantinople, incidentally where I was born, Pope St. Gregory came back to Italy laden with various relics that he'd collected. And then he set up a monastery in his own house in Rome and called it St. Andrew's. And he sent out St. Augustine to England, presumably again with relics, and various bishops went backwards and forwards to Rome as Christianity spread from the south of England up through Rochester to Hexham. And it appears that St. Wilfrid or St. Acca, two bishops of Hexham, there was a difficulty with a local king, and one of them was exiled. And it's possible, somebody's just written a play, by the way, recently on the journey of the relics of St. Andrew from Hexham into Scotland. So historians believe there is a possibility that the relics were brought from Hexham in England up to St. Andrew's. And there is a story, of course, about monks and nuns sailing from Patras with the relics and being eventually washed up on the shore of St. Andrew's. But I think that's really a very nice religious story to explain a whole series of complex meanderings backwards and forwards from Rome to Britain with various parts of relics of St. Andrew in this particular case. So the relics arrived in St. Andrew's and it became the national shrine for Scotland. People like famous Scottish figures like William Wallace, King Robert the Bruce, asked St. Andrew's protection before battle and came to the cathedral in St. Andrew's to give thanks to God for the victory at Bannockburn. And so it went on right through Scottish history. There was a famous battle called the Battle of Athelstanford in the 8th century where the King Angus saw the sign of St. Andrew, the saltire cross, in the sky.
Of course, the saltire, as you're saying, is the cross which is diagonal in shape, or an X-shaped cross.
And this was really an imitation of Constantine's vision at the Battle of Milvian Bridge, Ponte Milvio in Rome, where he defeated the rival Emperor Maxentius. And before the battle, he'd seen the cross of Christ, the Chiro, up in the setting sun. And he'd ordered all his soldiers to put that symbol on their standards, and they won the battle. So we had this foundation legend of the Scottish nation through the battle to the Battle of Athelstanford, which is linked to the Battle of Milvian Bridge. And from that time onwards, there were actually kings of Scotland called Constantine, because Constantine had actually been in York. He'd been in Britain, not in Scotland. And this was really a way of legitimizing the dynasty in Scotland. And from that time onwards, the saltire cross of St. Andrew has appeared on the scepter of Scotland. It's a symbol of the Scottish banks. The major Scottish banks have it. It's used for the Scottish flag that every Scotsman can fly. It's totally welded into the heart of Scotland.
Catholic historian Michael Turnbull is author of St. Andrew, Scotland's Myth and Identity, published by St. Andrew Press.